Remember the actress Helen Hayes. I'm dating you a little bit by asking that question, I understand. But I heard a story that it was Thanksgiving, and she decided that she was going to fix her very first Thanksgiving meal for her family. But before she served it, she announced to her husband, Charles MacArthur, and their son, James, that this is the first turkey that I've ever cooked, and if it isn't right, I don't want anybody to say a word. We'll just get up from the table, and we will go out to eat. She walked into the kitchen, and she was gone for a little bit, finishing things up, and she came back to the table, and there sat her husband and her son with their coat and their hats on. I'm going to be helping this Thursday with Thanksgiving dinner, so would you just kind of keep that in mind and pray for us this week? But I did get a new air fryer. Anybody done turkey in an air fryer? Am I good? Can I do that? Okay, thanks for your help, guys. This is awesome. It's Thanksgiving, and man, I love Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to Thursday. I'm looking forward to tonight. Anybody looking forward to tonight with our Thanksgiving meal here? It's always awesome. But Thanksgiving, that day that you get together with your family, obviously, and then we'll get together tonight with our church family. There's kind of a new thing out now called Friendsgiving. Some of you have already participated in Friendsgiving. Have you done that, people, where you get together with your friends and you have Thanksgiving a little bit early with that? So some of y'all sitting out there are going to have Thanksgiving dinner three times. You are so blessed. It's such a precious, precious thing, and we should count our blessings, not just the food stuff, even though that's awesome. God has been so incredibly good to us. I look around the room, and I see this precious new life here, Nellie and her baby. What a blessing, what a gift that is. And I look around, and I see some visitors with us. I see some people haven't been able to be with us for a while because of illness. And man, we are just so blessed in this church. We are so blessed in this nation. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. And it's not just a one time of year thing. Like we have mentioned before in the past, and just last week we talked about that a little bit. But every day we ought to be thankful. Every day. I look here on the front row and I see this young couple about to be married as well. Josh and Haley, we're proud of you. Going to be serving in ministry together as well. And so we're going to be praying for you as well. But what a blessing. We are blessed. Henry Ward Beecher said, "Pride slays Thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." And so I want to encourage you, like we talked about last week, to humble yourselves before the Lord and give thanks. 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So today what I want to do is I want to share just a few thoughts about Thanksgiving from God's Word. And I'll just tell you, this is a blessing for you as well. This sermon probably won't be as long as they normally are. Okay, just want to make sure that you're with me on that. I know you're thankful for that, but I do want to share a few things with you this morning from Scripture that I think are things that we need to be thankful for, things that sometimes I think we take for granted. Sometimes it is we blow through the days of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the days really around the year that we kind of forget to give thanks for. So here is the first thing that I think we need to keep in mind this time of year. In a list of sins, ingratitude is a big one. You say, what are you talking about? When we fail to be thankful, when we don't show our gratitude, it's almost like saying we don't recognize what God has done for us. A preacher told his congregation, he said one Sunday morning, he said, "There's a theory going around that if people don't smoke, don't drink, don't overeat, or engage in extramarital affairs, they'll live a lot longer. The problem is we won't know for sure until somebody in the church tries it." Now, we don't want to necessarily go that, but here's the thing. What's your sin? What's your biggest sin that sometimes you I don't know, you struggle with something that you just kind of is hanging over your head. Is it greed? Is it materialism? Is it anger? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's pride. I'm going to guess that not many of you have said ingratitude. But when I look at what God's Word is saying about how we ought to be thankful and we ought to appreciate what God has done for us, I think ingratitude is right up there with all of those other ones that I mentioned that sometimes we, we say are the bad ones. Someone said, if you have nothing to be thankful for, then make up your mind that there's something wrong with you. If you don't have something to be thankful for, then maybe you need to do a spiritual inventory and see what's going on in your life. Everyone has a reason to give thanks for what God has done for you. Everyone has something that God has blessed you with. And here in America, I know we say this a lot, but we have more than most, if not all, other countries. I say all other countries, you know. We should say, thank you, God, for what you've given to us. Romans 1, 20 and 22 says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And a lot of people say, well, what do I have to be thankful for? God's not done anything for me. Have you ever met someone like that? And God says, look around. Just look at the sky. Look at the trees. Look at the animals. Look at the way I have designed everything. I have revealed myself to you so that if you don't see anything else going on in your life, you need to understand that there is a God who created you and who loves you, and for that, you should be thankful. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, it's just." Some people, you know, I get irritated. If you do this, I kind of apologize in advance. But I get irritated when people refer to Mother Nature because, you know, there is no Mother Nature. It's God. God created it, and he set the world into existence, and he decides when this happens and that happens, and we give credit to God for everything that the world didn't just form, and there's not just some make-believe Mother Nature out there. It's God who spoke the world into existence, and he cares for us, and he has created everything for us, you know? We should be thankful for that. I think we take that for granted. Anybody that says that, yeah, there's a God, you should be thankful to him when you see what he's done in this universe and know what he'll do in the future. That's the thing. Not only has he done a lot for you in the past, but he's done a lot for you in the present as well, because he's forgiven your sins every single day, and he's going to do a lot for you in the future for all of eternity. Isn't that awesome? Again, if he's done nothing more than save you from your sins, how can you complain when you see what he's done for you? Cicero said this, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. So if thankfulness is the greatest of virtues, then failing to give thanks, well, that's a pretty big deal. Now, here's a second thought from God's Word. In the presence of all people, we must give thanks. Acts chapter 27, verses 33 through 36. This is a story of one of the shipwrecks that Paul was involved in. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you is going to lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it, began to eat it, and they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. It reminds me of the story of the six-year-old boy who was invited to lunch in a neighbor's house one time, and the parents are seated around, and his friends are all seated around the table, and they're about to eat, and with the frankness that a child has, asked the host, said, don't you guys say a prayer before you eat? And the host was a little bit embarrassed over the little boy's question and said, no, we don't take time for that. And the boy was silent for a moment. And he said, "Well, you're just like my dog. You just start right in, don't you?" You know? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? You know how many people, not just in other countries, but in this country, don't know where their next meal's coming from? And we're going to go out this afternoon, and a lot of us are going to go to restaurants, and we're going to drop a lot of money on food just because we can, when a lot of people don't even know where their next meal is coming from. Acts 27:35, after he said this, he took some bread, gave thanks to God in front of them all. Again, the text is talking about just during this issue, Paul has been shipwrecked. The crew hadn't eaten for a period of time, and Paul is urging them to eat. But before they do, he gave thanks to God in their presence. And I think that's a good example, to give thanks to God in other people's presence. I mean, why not? Are you ashamed? Do you give thanks in a public restaurant? And I'm don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you absolutely have to do it, and you're less of a Christian if you don't do this. I'll be honest, sometimes I dive right in, I forget. And then sometimes some of us are pre-appetizer prayers and some are after-appetizer prayers. Who's with me on that? You know what I'm talking about? You're kind of like, oh, wait, man, I forgot. Oh, yeah, we probably ought to eat before, you know, we do this. But here, number one, when you pray, it basically shows that you are thankful to God for His blessings and you want Him to bless it. But two, it shows that you honor God in this world by giving thanks to Him. You're letting your light shine in a public place when you give thanks in public. You know, and giving thanks in public, this isn't a matter of making a spectacle of yourself, but it's offering a witness for God, because He's the one that gave it to you. And I got to be honest with you. I remember going to a restaurant one time. There's a table full of people. It was obvious they had been to church. And there was a table full of people, and the food comes. And I'm assuming he was the preacher. He just had that glow about him. And so he stands up, and he starts praying. He stands up, and he's praying really loud. And I'm thinking, is God hard hearing? I mean, he's just really laying into it. And he kind of reminded me of Matt Foley. Does anybody know who Matt Foley is? Who knows who, from Saturday Night Live, he's the motivational speaker, Chris Farley, you know, and he's just like praying, and he's like praying really loud, and he's kind of making a spectacle. You don't have to do that. In fact, please don't do that. If you do that, please don't wear your I Love ECCC t-shirts while you're doing it, okay? But here's the deal. Be thankful and pray that God has blessed you. Don't be afraid to let people know that, you know? Let them know that you're thankful for what God has done. And then third, in a world of impurity, there must be thanksgiving. In a world that has become so saturated by sin, we've got to be thankful. Ephesians 5:3-4, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We live in a world of impurity. Have you noticed that? Impure language, impure lifestyle. Seems like, I don't know, nothing, as the old saying goes, nothing is sacred anymore. I remember when I chaperoned a trip to Chicago. I was with our sixth graders at CCS. I was with Nick's class, and one of our students brought a bunch of movies for us to watch on the bus. And I said, well, let me see the movies before, you know, we just stick one in there, being the good chaperone that I was. And the first movie that the student pulled out was Goonies. Anybody remember Goonies? Remember that great old show from the 80s? Harmless movie, right? Kid movie, right? Yeah, go ahead, put it in. That's a great movie. You ever watch a show when you were younger and then later you watch it again and you go, oh my goodness. That was, yeah, that happened. with Goonies. It was bad. I couldn't believe the language it was in it. And as a kid, you don't really pick up on those things. But as an adult, you're like, man, I thought that was hilarious and I thought this would be good. And I was absolutely embarrassed. We got through maybe 5 minutes of it. I read the reviews this week just for fun. You might want to do that. Go to Common Sense Media and check that out. I'm not going to go into it. But if you really want to see what an idiot I was, go check that out. But here's the deal. Language is everywhere. And bad language is everywhere. And I feel like sometimes we buy into it. You know, the euphemisms, we substitute words for other words, and you know, it's like I just want to say, why don't you just go ahead and say the word? You know, things that I've even heard preachers say from the pulpit, I'm like, yeah, man, that's tough, you know. And we need to be pure. We need to be thankful for what God has done. And the Bible says, you know, we got to watch our coarse language and these different things that we do that, you know, Jesus died for our sins. And yet here we are willingly participating in things that are not going to bring him honor and glory. I've shared my Great Dane trailer stories with you many times when I worked there. And man, it was just a pit. But the language was awful. The innuendos were awful. It was nothing for me to be in the back of a semi-trailer working with people that I knew went to church, people that I went to church with, telling dirty jokes, you know, telling a story like it was no big deal. Guys, if we're truly thankful, we can't buy into that. But among you, this is Ephesians 3, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. In a world of all kinds of impurity, there must be thanksgiving and there must be praise. And if it doesn't come from God's people, where's it going to come from? Those of us who are in Christ, let our light shine by being quick to give thanks to God anywhere and everywhere. Praise Him in song. We're pointing people to Him. How about this Friday when you're out shopping and you're just about over the craziness of how nuts people are? I encourage you. In fact, I'll give you five. No, I won't. I encourage you to just blurt out singing. Right? Right in the middle. Counting every blessing. Do it. I dare you. You know? The person in front of you, I mean, I don't think they're going to hit you or anything. You're not going to get black and blue, no worse than you already are, black and blue from getting beat up shopping. But, you know, maybe just sing. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Do something like that, you know? I mean, everybody look at you like you're nuts, but that's okay. You know? That's okay. Instead of buying into this other stuff, be thankful. And then fourth, in the midst of asking, we must give thanks. How many of you in your prayer time are just really good at just asking for stuff, but not real good at thanking God for all that He's done for us? I'm guilty of that. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's nothing wrong with asking. He tells us to do that. But we need to be thankful as well. Matthew 7:7-11, ask, it'll be given to you, seek, and you'll find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, you give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask you? We should ask to the Lord. We should. He's the giver of every perfect gift. He wants to give us good things, but we need to thank Him as well. Presbyterian minister Charles Hodge said, I think that in my childhood, I came nearer to the scripture, pray without ceasing, than in any other period in my life. He said, as far back as I can remember, I had the habit of giving thanks for everything I received and asking Him for everything I wanted. If I lost a book or a plaything, I prayed that I might find it. I prayed walking along the streets to school and in school and out of school, whether playing or studying. I did not do this in obedience to any prescribed rule. It just seemed natural. I thought that God was everywhere, that He was present and He was full of kindness and He was full of love, and He would not be offended if His children talked to Him. How interesting that a kid gets that. Children seem to get that more than we do, don't we? We're God's children. How many of you with kids, if your child wants to talk to you, would you be offended? Would you say, nah, I don't really want to talk to you? Go ahead. God wants that from us. We need to express our thanks. Start it early in life. Teach your children. Make it a habit. Parents, teach your children to be thankful. I remember a couple of years ago, it was around Halloween, and it was Halloween because a kid came trick-or-treating. That'd be weird if he came trick-or-treating not on Halloween. But anyway, he came trick-or-treating on Halloween, and he knocks on the door, and we give him the candy, and he starts to walk away. And the mother, I remember it very vividly, kind of interrupts and walks in and said, now what do you say? And then she looks at me and said, sorry, I'm trying to teach him to be thankful. You know, I thought, wow. You know, that's a mom that gets it, really gets it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'll close with this story. Preacher Gypsy Smith tells of walking the streets of Scotland. And as he's walking the streets of Scotland, he feels a tug on his sleeve. At first, he thought it was just somebody that's trying to get past him, trying to get ahead of the of where he was and in the crowd of people. But the tug just kept coming. It was more persistent. It was a little bit stronger. And he turns around and he sees a little girl in rags holding something wrapped in dirty paper. And the preacher bends over and says, "What is it, my dear?" And the little girl said, "I want to give you my candy." The preacher said, "Why do you want to give me your candy?" He said, "Oh, sir, I have a new daddy at home. He was never sober before, but last Saturday he came to your revival meeting and you told him about Jesus. And he gave his heart and his life to Jesus, and he's not the same. I have a new daddy now. And I want to give you this candy." Are you grateful for what God has done for you? If so, what have you given to Him? What is your candy, so to speak? Now, this candy was very precious to this little girl, I'm sure. I mean, what little kid doesn't like candy, right? And who knows, she didn't have much, and she gave it up. And all God asks of you is to just live your life for Him. Let your light shine. Be thankful. Maybe there are some of you here this morning that number one, you've not surrendered your life to Christ. And so this idea of giving thanks is a little bit foreign to you because you don't know Jesus. We want to give you the chance to do that this morning. If you've not confessed Jesus as the Christ and repented of your sins, you've not been baptized into Him, we've done all that, but maybe there's some of you who are here this morning, you've done all that, but just over the course of time, you've just kind of gradually slipped out of being faithful to Him and everything and being so thankful. Maybe you've bought into some of these things that I was talking about of ingratitude and maybe some of the coarse joking and language and some of the impurity that the world is kind of throwing at you. You kind of bought into that. Would you repent of that this morning? Maybe you're here and during this time of Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving is to me is all about family and all about having a home. Maybe you need a church home today. Maybe you need a church family. We'd like to be that family for you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to lead this song, Jesus, I Come. And if there's anyone here that needs to make a public decision today, we just invite you to come during this song. Would you pray with me, please?